Well, this evening we're going to continue through the book of Hebrews. And we've come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 20 to 22. If you have a Bible, please do turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 20 to 22. The scripture says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Well, these verses tonight provide us with a really wonderful testimony to the faithfulness of God, to the faithfulness of the Lord, his faithfulness to his people and his promises, generation after generation. The Lord is the covenant-keeping God, a faithful God who blesses even to 1,000 generations of those who trust him. And we have in these verses 3 generations of God's people: Isaac to Jacob and Jacob to Joseph. And how the blessing of God passed from one to the next. The Lord faithfully keeping his promises to bless them, his people, to be their God. Faithful to his word, his covenant. We see the Lord blessing generation after generation. And of course, it is just the same today. To us, the church, generation after generation, God is faithful and the blessing continues. We serve a faithful, promise-keeping God. It's the one thing you can rely on in life. Everything else can fail, be taken from us. People disappoint, health fail. The one thing that will never change, that you can always rely on, is that God is faithful. But if we look closely at these verses, we see that as it is throughout this chapter, the focus is on the faith of these saints. How each one in faith passed on God's blessing to the next generation. In faith, they looked ahead of their own time as their lives were coming to an end. And they looked to things to come, to future generations. And in faith, they trusted, they believed God would be faithful to them too. That God would continue and would fulfill his word and his promises. And in faith, they were passing on that blessing to their children. Trusting God would continue and be faithful to them. And these verses are telling us that because they lived and they died and they blessed with this faith, they really left behind a lasting godly legacy. A legacy of faith, a blessing that benefited those who came after. So we should focus on their faith as these verses do. And what the scripture tells us about the legacy and the effect that had on the next generation and the blessing that's passed on in God's faithfulness. We're told that the patriarch Isaac, in his old age, passed on the blessing of God to his sons. And then his son in Jacob, when dying, passed on a legacy of God's grace to his descendants. And then Joseph, passing on a legacy of hope to his descendants even centuries later. And each one in faith, trusting God would be there for their descendants. And they came to die. When they came to die, they were looking ahead by faith. But certainly we will need to consider how these verses call us to pass on a blessing to the next generation. How for we need to be faithful. But they do tell us about God's continuing faithfulness to the church. So if you look with me first at verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now I wonder if at first this seems the most confusing of these three verses. But I hope I can show you that the encouragement that it gives us is that despite our muddles and our messes, God will still bless faith. Despite our flaws and our failures, if we act in faith, the Lord will bless. You see, this verse, when you look at it, just this verse by itself, it's a very positive affirmation of Isaac's faith. It's a very positive statement that by faith he blessed his son and sons and spoke of things to come. Isaac was a man of great faith. He trusted the Lord. He trusted that God's covenant and promises would come true. And he's looking forward to the future and blesses Jacob and Esau. Jacob he blesses as the, I suppose you could pull it this way, with the covenant grace of God. That the promised line of the chosen seed will come through Jacob. And the greater blessing is his, but it's quite remarkable in a way. There was still blessing for Esau too. But what's so striking about this is how positively this verse speaks about Isaac's blessing. Because as I'm sure you know the story in Genesis 27, that moment when Isaac blesses Jacob and Esau is a rather sinful and sorry mess. Genesis makes clear there was no love lost between these two brothers. From birth, there was a rivalry between them. I don't know if anybody has brothers and they can identify with that a little bit. There was this competition between them. Who's going to get the blessing of the firstborn? Which in their culture meant would get the lion's share of the family's wealth and leadership in the family. And of course, that takes on extra significance in the family of Abraham, because to be the firstborn means you're going to inherit this promise of through whom the Savior will come. And of course, as we know, all as God predetermined it, that blessing comes to Jacob. But humanly speaking, as the younger child, Jacob set out to steal that birthright. And he's clever and he's cunning. And he kind of tricks Esau into giving away what would be his inheritance. So when Esau's hungry and he's a man of passions who perhaps doesn't think, he takes advantage of that and he trades Esau's birthright for a pot of stew that he'll make him. And then imagine this, his elderly father whose eyes have failed, he deceives him. He deceives Isaac and he dresses up like Esau, so that he can get the blessing. And then Esau is so enraged by this, he determines in his heart to murder his brother Jacob. And Jacob's got to flee from the promised land. I mean, you just look at that, humanly speaking, it's a total disaster. But look at how positively Hebrews speaks about this and about Isaac. Even in the midst of all of this sin, and this family breakdown, Isaac's failure and the deceit, and Isaac was living by faith. He was still believing the promises of God. He spoke of things to come. He believed what God had promised was the future for God's people. In his time, unseen. A promise of a land, a people, a savior. Looking at his sons, he must have been tempted to doubt. But he believed. And so he believed that the bestowing of this blessing and promise was so important. Despite everything that's wrong about this sorry incident, don't miss that Isaac is doing the most important thing right. He's got the most important thing right. He believes in the promise of God. And in faith, he's passing on that blessing, trusting God's going to bring it to pass. His great plan of salvation. You see why Hebrews is emphasizing to him his faith. Yeah, it's all terribly messy and Jacob scheming, Esau angry. And yet despite all of this, none of it's going to prevent God's plan coming true. It's all going to be as the Lord has ordained. And the seed will come. And Isaac, whatever else you can say, he believes. And he's passing on the promise. There's this great legacy of faith. Now, if you really think about that, how remarkable this is. I think this is a really marvelous example of God's grace. How the goodness of the Lord continues despite us. The goodness of God can continue on and bless despite us. I believe there's a great encouragement for any of us who are parents. We long for our children, our grandchildren to serve the Lord. But we know how weak and sinful we are. And the many messes that we make as parents. But the good news is God is faithful. And he can bring blessing, cause there to be a godly legacy, despite all our shortcomings. You see what I mean? Isn't that just the most encouraging thought? It's encouraging for all believers because despite our sins and our flaws, the Lord can work through us. He will accomplish his purposes. He can bless future generations. Maybe I could picture it this way for you. There was once a king, and he had a very gifted son, very talented painter. And the king, the father, just delighted in the works that his son did. But one day the king's son decided to go to a school for vulnerable children. Children with disabilities and learning challenges. And he would teach them how to paint. And of course they were so unable. But he would use his own gracious hands, holding the hands of the children. You know, to guide their brushstrokes and to help them smooth the paint. And now certainly the king's son, if he did it all by himself, it would have been a much more beautiful painting. But he was so skillful. He could, despite all the hindrances of these children with needs, he still was able to produce beautiful works. And his father, the king, loved those paintings all the more because of the graciousness of his son. Now, I hope you see the meaning of how the Son of God can work through us. Despite all our sins and imperfections, all we contribute like the children is our weaknesses and hindrances. But it doesn't stop his good hands working through his people, accomplishing salvation and doing wonderful things. And so certainly that's one thing that stands out here about this legacy of faith that Isaac leaves behind. Despite our flaws and failures, if by faith we are looking to the Lord will bless. By his grace, we can leave behind blessing for others. Look with me next at verse 21. And what Jacob in turn passed on to his sons. And this is partly what we heard in Genesis 48, and it goes on into 49. Now, again, you've always got to ask when you're studying the scriptures, what does it say and what does it leave out? What is it emphasizing to me in this particular verse? And what is it that we're told about Jacob? That he worshipped leaning on his staff. Again, here he is, a saint in his old age. He's about to die. But in faith, he knows how important the promise of God is. And in faith, he passes it on and trusts God will bring these things about. But he does it leaning on his staff. Now, if you know the story of Jacob we're given in the scriptures, you know how important his staff is. It has a symbolic importance in his life. It's a reminder to us of his humility, that he learned to depend on God, to lean on God and God's grace. We've seen, you know, Jacob is this grasper, this grabber out to get what he wants, the self-made man, no matter who he hurts. But then you remember there's that great turning point in his life, that when he eventually comes back to the promised land and he hears that Esau's coming with a band of 400 men, he presumes to kill him. And he's brought to the end of himself. He's stuck in a place where he can't scheme out of it. And he's got no answers. He's helpless. And then alone that night, the Lord comes to him and brings him to a place of weakness. He touches his thigh and makes him so he can only hobble. And now Jacob the grasper clings to God in a new way. Clings to him in desperation or he'll fall over. And then he's named Israel. Because now he's learned that the real strength, the real mercy comes from God. And that to be God's people, we must be humble and lean on God, depend on God for his mercy and his grace. He was humbled and he learned humility. And it's striking that from, I think, every point on then in Genesis, from that point on, you'll find Jacob's no longer grabbing and taking. He's always giving. He's constantly giving things and giving blessings, even to Pharaoh. And he's always leaning on his staff. He was left with this physical, tangible reminder, a thorn in the flesh, that he might learn God's grace is sufficient. And this is the legacy, you could say, that's really being passed on. These are the things that really count. Graces and spiritual virtues. What does Jacob pass on? Not lands, not money, not power, but the blessing of God, the lessons of humility, grace. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if that's the legacy we leave behind? If when people reflect on our lives, what we've meant to them, if what they took from it is they said, look at God's grace. Look how that person always leaned on God. God never let them down. Look how you admitted you were weak and sinful. You were humble enough to admit when you got things wrong. Because you knew you could lean on divine grace. What a blessing that would leave behind. Far better than any property or wealth. Godliness. The world's mantra, of course, that it's trying to indoctrinate our children with, is you can have it all, you can be anything, you can do anything, there's nothing you cannot do, just believe in yourself. And of course, if you believe that, it makes you a very small person, it makes you miserable. But what a difference. If people could see in us the truth, we desperately need Jesus Christ and his grace. Like Jacob, we cling to him in our weakness as sinners. And he holds us on. And that it's okay to acknowledge our weaknesses and flaws and failures. But Christ is all. What a wonderful legacy that leaves behind. And so finally, if you look at me in verse 22... Joseph, by faith, left behind a legacy of hope. When he was dying, he made mention of the departure, the exodus of the children of Israel, and gave instructions concerning his bones. So Genesis chapter 50, in its closing words, gives us the last recorded words of Joseph. And as the prophet and the man of God that he was, he prophesied, saying, I am dying. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Who's the you in that verse? Not the generation, the literal flesh and blood people he's speaking to. This is a prophecy for the people of God for generations to come. He'll bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you shall carry up my bones from here. Now, the right perspective to have on that is to see what a tremendous word from God of hope for Israel in the centuries they then spent in Egypt. What a testimony that with his dying words, he in faith sees God's promises will be true. That God will save his people, bring them to the land. Now think about that when there's generations then who have to toil in slavery and Pharaoh won't let them go. They could, what they should have done is look at this promise of in the word of God. They could have emulated the faith of Joseph. God will bring us out. God will deliver. He will not leave us. And then Joseph shows his faith in this bright future for the people of God with the instructions he gives about his death. That no doubt as a great Egyptian man, a dignitary, he would have been embalmed and entombed as was their custom. But he says to the people, you must take my bones out of that tomb. Take them with you to the promised land. That's how sure I am God's going to keep his promises. I want you to dig me up and make sure you take me with you. What faith. What an inspiring example of hope. But also, because I don't doubt, he was looking forward to the resurrection. He was sure looking forward to the resurrection. Do you remember a few weeks ago we looked at Abraham's buying of a tomb for Sarah? And how what that really meant is that in death we inherit the promises. And Abraham was looking forward to the promised resurrection. And there's surely something of that here. That Joseph says he wants his very bones to be with God's people for when that day of resurrection comes. He's looking forward with great faith, great hope. How do we emulate this faith of Joseph? Well, when you and I come to die, we should show those around us we die in hope. We know it's not the end of the story. We should show courage and faith that dying, we trust the Lord. He's going to bring us into his kingdom. We will be with Christ. And that we believe even our bodies and our bones are buried in hope because of the coming resurrection. And we can show this to the people around us by how we die, that we have a hope. You can show it in how you plan your funeral. When my time comes, if any of you, probably you younger ones, I guess, are still here, I don't want you to be sad on my account. I want you to give thanks. I go to be with the Lord. Now, what a legacy. What a legacy to leave behind. To die like a Christian. And in a more general sense, what optimistic, what joyful people we should be. I mean, the world looks a pretty dark place right now. A lot of people are looking for answers, looking for hope, for some bit of light in all the darkness and chaos. But you people of God, you should look to things unseen, to the future, with great faith, because you know Jesus is Lord and is coming again. That's the faith in which these men died, and it left behind a legacy of blessing. So despite all our messes and our muddles, God is gracious and can use us and bring a blessing. We can pass on that all-important lesson of the grace of God, that we humbly depend on him. And even in death, we can pass on a legacy of hope because we're looking to the promises of God. May God give us the grace to do so. Let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great faith and inspiring examples of our spiritual fathers who've come before us. That they faced great challenges, but you gave them the faith to meet them. And they trusted your word. And they knew that you are a faithful God who would surely do all he promises. Father, we humbly ask that you would inspire in us the same bold and bright faith. Help each of us here to look to the future with hope and joy. And we pray, Lord, for the gift of faith to believe all that your word promises. We pray, Lord, that through our faith, you would bring, Lord, a legacy of blessing on those who follow us. In Jesus' name, amen.